ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
The what?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
How do I turn the dial on the show I'm on? I feel like I got nowhere to go.
Truth be told, a majority of the American people would ultimately empathize with our situation.
Jeff Lutz.
The reason there's no weaklings is because there's no stronglings.
Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Everything you need to make it happen.
All right, welcome back. We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio, 869-1240. That's the hotline sponsored by IHOP, where you can get all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. Mike Furches has hung around. Mike, how's your week going?
It's going pretty good. The same old. Go to the doctor, so you find out something. It's going on, right? And you keep on going on. So, but it's so far it's been a good week.
Yeah, we got no choice. We got to keep plugging away. Fortunately,
Jeff will see those days eventually.
I doubt it.
He's kind of snickering right now. Like, what are these two old guys?
Not really. You know, if I make it that far, I'm sure I'll experience the same things.
Yeah, there you. Whatever.
Don't hurt yourself.
Will you experience the inability to grab a phone?
Just let me ask the first question to Mike, because I don't know if you've watched either of the documentaries, Mike, but I've watched both documentaries that were released over the past week on Scott and Lacey Peterson and
both. I thought there was only the Netflix.
There's one on Peacock too. Where they talk to Scott Peterson, and it's kind of an embarrassing display of everything. But has that case in particular fascinated you at all over the years? And in general, where do you stand on true crime documentaries and shows like Dateline and everything like that?
Well, that case in particular did not really interest me until I saw the documentary. And it makes a compelling case for Scott Peterson to some extent. So,
which one are you talking about?
The one that was on the Netflix one. I don't think I've seen the one on Peacock yet. So, but I mean, it's a fascinating crime. As far as true crime stories goes, I love them. I mean, it's one of the things that my wife and I, we both enjoy those types of programs and actually watch quite a bit of them, whether it be FBI or unsolved murders or, you know, things of that nature. We actually watch a lot of those types of things. And I enjoy movies of that nature as well. So,
interesting that you mention it makes somewhat of a compelling case for Scott Peterson, because I could see that way of thinking. But the only reason it's a compelling case in favor of Scott Peterson is because they have no video, no physical evidence, not everything else. Everything else indicated that he was, of course, the guilty party. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. But it's one of the things I have with Netflix as well, though. Netflix has a history of not getting things exactly right. And we're seeing that with the current movie that's out right now with Baby Reindeer, that not everything they got right with that. Murder, Making of a Murderer, not everything they got right on there. And so I hate to say it this way, and it doesn't bother me so much, but you know, I wonder if Netflix is driven more by the profit margin than they are the accuracy of the story. So, because the documentary on Netflix was definitely written in favor of Scott Peterson.
Well, if you think that was in favor of Scott Peterson, then I would love to get your opinion on the Peacock one, because that was basically a PR piece for Scott Peterson. One documentary you can skip, Mike, however, is Untold about Steve McNair. Just horrific. Thought it was going to go somewhere, and over an hour, it just never did. It just never went anywhere.
And I like Steve McNair. That's one of the shows I would probably been interested in watching. So,
but we didn't get to know him at all. They showed some of his football highlights, and we never got to hear old interviews or anybody who kind of knew him that well that spoke highly of his character. It was just his best friend that had a falling out and his football coach. It was just so poorly done. Can't even imagine.
Yeah, and I love
That's
good
all.
Documentaries.
Bob can take.
There could be some bad. Spurlock is a guy. Morgan Spurlock, he did Supersize Me. I tend to really enjoy his documentaries, and I've enjoyed in the past Roger Moore's documentaries. But I think as of recent, he's gone off the deep end a little bit. But Morgan Spurlock.
Did you know that Moreland Spurlock is no longer with us?
No, I did not know that. That's news to me.
Yeah, he died a few weeks ago, I think. Go ahead, Bob.
All right, let's get back to some kind of semblance of pop culture with Mike Furtis.
We're talking movies and documentaries. What do you want from us?
Mike, I've been reading. Of course, I haven't gone to see the movie because, lo and behold, that shouldn't shock anyone. But I've been reading a lot of opinions about It Ends With Us. Some people saying that the trauma of watching the movie made it almost impossible. Thoughts?
I've not seen it yet because it does not look like an enjoyable movie. And it's the type of movie that I can see where people are saying that. I've not seen it yet. I've got a short list of things to do right now. And I probably won't see it unless I watch it on streaming, unless they quit putting out movies. But it seems like there's a good movie or two every week that's coming out. But It Ends With Us, it's getting some mixed reviews, but just from the trailers themselves, it looked to me like it'd be something that would be kind of conflicting, difficult to deal with, that type of thing. So,
where are you at?
I'm reluctant.
I never know when you're done talking, Mike. Where are you at?
I do.
Here's Mike. And one thing I really liked about it was the script and the characters.
You don't have to take that, Mike.
You know what, Bob? I got a T-shirt from the Guardians. I'm going to give you the burn.
Mike, where do you stand on the pushback against art because of some political issue or some people might take it the wrong way? I guess I'm getting old because I'm starting to see both sides more of that kind of argument. It's art. You consume it. How you, based on your own life experiences, and I think that's how it's meant to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. I really have a hard time with people that try to limit or censor any type of art, no matter what that art is. A lot of people don't know this about me. I love art. Probably one of the most emotional experiences I've ever seen or gone through is getting to see Van Gogh's Irises. Because of my work in the past in mental health and my appreciation for Van Gogh and his story, I literally, in the Getty Museum in L.A., I literally stood there and just cried and cried and cried when I saw that piece of art. So I really appreciate art, but there are certain factions of art that if it does not drive our emotional sense, it's not being very successful. And if it offends you, just don't look at it or think about it, but don't try to limit people's expression in whatever art form that they're trying to express.
Mike Furtis with us as we spend a few minutes talking about pop culture. So the big hit movie of the summer has been Deadpool and Wolverine with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, and that's kind of a can't-miss combination. How good is the movie, in your opinion?
I loved it, but I went off on a rant about it. It's rated R, okay? Comic books in their origins were adult-oriented comic books, and people like R. Crumb and others that drew comics have been around for years and years. So, but the original Batman, the original Superman, the old horror stories that they were doing, they were definitely adult in content and orientation. Wolverine and Deadpool is rated R. It's rated R for a reason. Those are not clean characters. They're not someone, you know, that, as my grandma used to say, they need to do something with that potty mouth, is how she used to say it. But I really enjoyed some of the humor. And Hugh Jackman was a surprise. You know, Ryan Reynolds, you kind of expect it. But Hugh Jackman, as Wolverine in this, is just, he's fabulous. The story is good. To me, it's that and the... there's a couple of others, but probably that's one of my most favorite movies I've seen. It's the only one I've seen so far this year that I'm willing to pay to see it again. if I have to. So I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Mike, what, my final question, what hope for anything is there out there for love, especially if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez can't make a go of it for the, maybe the third time coming up, do you think?
Yeah,
that poor couple's been through a lot.
Yeah, it's terrible. But we have examples like yourself, Jeff, that, you know, that's hung in there, and we hear Bob talk about his love story and his love life and, you know, how much he loves and misses Misty. And as he says that, my Bruno's up on my lap trying to lick me in the face. So we can still find it. We just have to look in the right places, whether it be cats or dogs, and sometimes just have to learn to forgive people.
All right. Well, next week when we get you on, I'm going to start to look ahead at some of the movies that we're going to be seeing the rest of the year that are being mentioned as Oscar contenders. You know, I like that. You know, those are the movies that most speak to me, and maybe that's me being a snob. I don't know, but that's kind of where I am.
Yeah. Well, the one that I would recommend for that right now is Long Legs with Nicolas Cage. And I know that he's the brunt of many, many a joke, but he's at the top of his career in that movie, and it's just fabulous in it as an actor playing a really oddball character. So I'm looking forward to those.
There's a website on Variety.com, and I enjoy reading some of the content. And their early predictions for Best Actor are Timothy Chalamet, Coleman Domingo for a movie called Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for a movie called Conclave, Joaquin Phoenix for the Joker sequel, and Denzel Washington for Gladiator 2.
Oh, I can see that. He should be up for...
That's interesting, isn't it?
Movies he hasn't even made yet.
It is interesting. Coleman Domingo is amazing. He started out on Broadway, did Tony Award stuff, and then he had an ongoing part in the Walking Dead series that really kind of shot him through the roof. And last year he was nominated for an Oscar as well. He's an up-and-coming actor, and, man, he is so good in his portrayals and what he does. And has an incredible singing voice if you ever get a chance to see one of his Tony shows. So,
hey, Mike, kind of I heard Denzel listed among those best actors. Did I miss Tom Hanks, or was he not in? I don't know if he was not. Was
what
he
does
not,
that even mean?
Mike thinks Tom Hanks is better than Denzel, and you're all insane if you think.
Well, he's not making a movie this year.
Yeah, that's my point.
At least one that's, you know, whatever.
He hasn't been nominated for a while. Denzel nominated for everything ever.
Daniel Day-Lewis hasn't been nominated in quite a few years, but I'd still put him up against anybody as far as acting chops.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is phenomenal. Yeah, we'll talk about all this next week, okay? I'm looking forward to it because the Joker sequel, I mean, I could barely get through the first one. Not that it wasn't a great movie, just so dark and so discomforting. And Lady Gaga's in this sequel. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. She's coming on.
That's
she's
the kind of stuff I like talking about.
Yeah. Well, let's do it next week for sure.
We'll have at it.
I can talk Lady Gaga all day long, too, so.
All right, Mike. Thank you as always.
Sounds good, guys.
Mike Furches with us, talking pop culture. This is the kind of stuff I enjoy.
We're not taking a break yet, are we?
We're taking one if Max wants us to.
Oh, interesting. Thought we had a guest at 3:25.
We do. I was going to talk a little bit, but hey, we're okay.
All right.
Well, Max stopped the music. Thank you, Max.
You can do whatever you want.
We got a couple minutes before we get to Kelly Rankin. You'll want to hear his story. He's going to the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October as an official. And a guy that was the head starter at two Olympic Games.
Impressive.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think.
You think I could be a starter?
From Clay Center, Kansas. No, nobody would want you to be a starter.
Just shoot a gun in the air.
You would have no idea what to do.
I do. Here's how I do it. Bang! And I'd be done. That was good. I don't care who you are. You want me to do it again? Just kind of go over exactly how I would start a race?
I am now going to just stop everything I do on this show when you make a fool of yourself.
How did I make a fool of myself?
That's what I'm going to do.
That was hilarious.
That's not hilarious.
Yes,
man,
it is.
What am I missing?
Me being funny?
Am I missing something?
That was my point was, could it be that difficult of a job? Maybe Kelly will tell us, yeah, it's really tough.
Well, that's the first thing I want to say. Yep. Jeff, you get the first question. Ask Kelly, what's the big deal?
No, I'm not going to ask him what the big deal is.
No, ask him.
But I will frame it that way. This seems like a job that any old schmuck could do, Kel. What
you know,
makes you...
The disrespect you have at times is so off-putting.
No, I'm really...
It really is.
Curious.
You're going for a cheap laugh by being disrespectful.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not even kidding now.
I'm not being disrespectful.
It irks me. It really does.
Don't be irked.
That kind of stuff drives me nuts.
What do you think I was doing?
Being disrespectful.
Well, I want to be educated.
That's not... Kel, you know, that's so disrespectful.
Oh, please. You know, I'm messing around.
It drives me nuts. It really does. We'll take a break.
I bet if Kelly Rankin is listening, I bet he's laughing.
He's not listening. He's in Vancouver, Washington.
I bet he doesn't take himself that seriously.
I don't care how he takes himself seriously. He deserves our respect. And we'll talk to Kelly Rankin next. We are joined on a hotline by Kelly Rankin, who is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame ceremony coming up in October in Topeka, Kansas. Kelly, welcome to our show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you, really happy that you're receiving this honor. Out of Clay Center, Kansas, you were a track athlete at the University of Kansas. You were also heavily involved in officiating track and field. Tell us about that side of your story.
Well, I ran at KU under Bill Easton, and upon graduation moved to Topeka and became a teacher and did that for several years. And a close friend of mine who was the track coach at the junior high there in North Topeka at was coaching track, and so he called me one day and said, "Hey, how you ran at KU? How'd you like to start a track meet?" And I said, "Well, sure." I didn't know what to do. You just shoot the gun and you run. Well, little did I know the makings of it, but I did it and enjoyed it and continued to do it and worked up the ladder as a neophyte worked junior highs, and then finally worked up to high school level, and then got to Washburn. And then I moved to Emporia to teach at Emporia State. And the coach there was one of the mucky mucks at the NAI level. And so he brought me in as a recall starter. And eventually I became the head starter and then traveled all over the United States for years and years doing all the indoor and outdoor championships, and then again moved to teach at the University of Oregon, and that's the mecca of track in the United States, and worked there as a recall starter, and eventually moved up to the head starter, and then that led to working with some of the biggest meets in the United States, along with traveling with the NAIA, and got selected to start the Olympic Games in Los Angeles in 1984, and again was fortunate enough to be selected to do the 96 Games in Atlanta. So that's kind of been the journey of not knowing anything about starting, shooting the gun, although I'm wearing a hearing aid because I shoot no shells for so many years. But it was a way to give back to the sport that it gave me.
So you said initially you thought it was just you shoot the gun and they run, and you didn't really know the inner workings. So what are the inner workings, and how do you know if you're good at it, and how do other people know if you're good at being a starter? Because obviously you're one of the best to ever do it. What does that mean?
Well, I guess one of the big things is understanding you've got 8, 9 of the fastest runners in the world at the starting blocks, and you better have the demeanor to be very calm and yet firm, and your commands are very, very smooth, set. It's none of the yelling or jumping in, and you have them jumping out of the blocks all the time. So I think is understanding that they're fired up, they're stallions in the blocks, and you need to be the one with the calm voice that helps them to get to the set position and give them time to get set, and at that time fire the gun. And just after, like I say, you're being observed by coaches all over the country, they begin to know who is worthy of doing the big time meets and who isn't. But I think
Billy Rankin, our guest, the only American to be selected to be the head starter for 2 Olympic Games, 1984 in Los Angeles, 1986 in Atlanta. I want to talk about 96. Those 86 games. I'm sorry, 96. 90. I want to talk about those games and Michael Johnson, who just was phenomenal in those Olympics. And you have a story to tell about being a starter in a race he ran.
Yes, of course, that particular day at that moment in time in lane 3 or lane 4, the world was watching that particular race, the 400 meters, and to watch Michael Johnson. And so I was given the chance to assignment to start that particular race. And so, you're standing up on the starting block, starters blocks, and there's a certain time the athletes can march out. We've already marched out about 5-7 minutes before taking our position. Athletes come out, set their blocks, and everything is precise. It's timing, and that when that clock at the stadium set, it goes, if he's go at 2 o'clock, I better be firing that gun at 2 o'clock. And so you look up and you see 800,000 people, and everything is quiet. So when my voice on your mark goes, you can hear the voice all over the stadium. And I'm thinking, Rankin, don't screw this one up. There is no room for error. But he was such a magnificent athlete, and so solid. It was like you could say set, and he'd get in that set position, and he'd stay there as long as you want him to be there, and when you're ready to go, he'll go on the gun. But it was quite a thrill to start him. And, of course, you're never allowed to talk to the athletes in any way to distract them. They're focused and the biggest time of their life, and you're not there to lollygag and shake hands. He's there to run, and I'm there to make sure it's a fair start.
So what do you remember about your time at the University of Kansas as a sprinter? What memories kind of stick out for you there, and what drew you initially to become a runner?
Running at Clay Center, I 14 in my family tree that had gone to KU, so I didn't have much choice. I was going there, and was fairly successful. I wasn't that great in high school, but I knew that I wanted to run at KU, and had been in talk in connection with Coach Easton, and so he invited me to come out, and So I got to run with some greats at KU that were sprinters. Paul Williams and Charlie Tidwell and Mike Isaverso. There's just always been great, great sprinters at KU. And that was both indoors and outdoors. And the turf at Allen Fieldhouse at that time, this is way, this is when we were running on cinders. You know, I have scars on my legs from falling down trying to run hurdles, and those cinders really tear you up. But it was just hard earth. And running those short curves around the basketball court there, you have to really churn with that outside foot to keep it from coming in. So I tore everything in my right toe except a bone. And so that kind of got hurt me in my sophomore year. Then my junior year, it still was bothering me. And so I went and talked to Coach, and he said, why don't you play baseball in summertime at Clay Center? Go down to see Temple. Floyd Temple was the baseball coach then. So I went down and talked to him went out and lettered my junior year in baseball. And then my senior year, we were married living at the Mary's dorm, and that became the end of my running career. But as I said, I was still affiliated. Physical education is always my main area, and always around sports, and that's how I ended up being at the right place at the right time.
Kelly Rankin will be inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October in ceremonies in Topeka, Kansas. I'm curious. Now, one of your teammates at KU was not a sprinter, but Billy Mills, who's one of the great legends of all time in track and field. So I'd like you to address what it was like to be around him. And then secondly, I want you to talk about your career as a gymnastics official, because you did 5 Big Eight championships in gymnastics in the late 60s into the early 70s, too.
Yeah, Billy, still today I keep in touch with him. He lives in Sacramento, and I keep in touch with he and his wife, Pat. Running with him, you know, he was the machine, endless running, and, you know, he miled 5,000, 10,000, and marathon, and so he was doing wonderful things while we were running together. You know, we just worked out together, but when it came to actually running, he'd take off and off cross country, and, you know, I was a sprinter. I didn't do that kind of running. He was the greatest and dearest friend, and as I said, I still keep in touch with him. And the gymnastics came about, I was a self-taught official, never did it. But I also was a physical education teacher and teaching tumbling and some apparatus. And that's how I got interested in judging gymnastics at the high school level in Topeka, and worked my way up the ladder as it was a starting track. And Bob Lockwood, who was the gymnastics coach then, who was also a classmate of mine, we went to KU together at the same time, and he was on the gymnastics team. I just learned by watching and going to meets and sort of learning as the kids were learning. And as far as being able to do it, I couldn't do any of that stuff. But I can teach it, and I knew what to do and the technique and everything. So I worked my way up and became the representative from KU with Bob, as I said, Lawson, Lockwood, as the head coach. So when we would go to a Big Eight meet, each school would bring a judge, so that there was no homing, as they would say, everybody being neutral, as they have to be. Then it rotated around, so there were 4 of us judging an event. You know, somebody from Nebraska, somebody from Oklahoma State, or wherever. So that was kind of the way I moved up there, and awful lot of very technical things to know. And I can remember we used to trampoline used to be part of the gymnastics program, and you know, if that athlete didn't hit in the middle of that tramp, if he hits to the side, he's going to be flying off of it on the other side. So there were several times that I came out of my chair and made a catch, save somebody from getting hurt. But they used to have rope climbing and flying rings and trampoline, and those were some of the old ones that way back then that they did. But those soon died by the in the past gymnastics Olympic meet that just finished in Paris. The people were able to see, you know, what events they still do in gymnastics. Don't have much men in college anymore. In fact, there's hardly any. That's mainly club. Mm-hmm. And there's still a few universities that have women's gymnastics, but it's a sport that takes a highly skilled coach knowledge, and because it's a very dangerous sport, can be. And the price of apparatus and competition against volleyball and basketball and having the right facilities that can handle it.
Well, Kelly, we really appreciate your time. You've had a fascinating career and life in sports, and maybe not in the way you'd traditionally think of it, but you've had an incredible run, and we're very happy that you're going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, it's an honor to get selected, and I appreciate getting to visit with you and telling people what I used to do, and try to recruit new officials. We always can use officials.
And currently you live in Vancouver, Washington, so good, yes, good yes, for sir. You, and thanks again, Kelly.
Well, it's good to visit. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
All right, Kelly Rankin, one of the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame inductees. I think she has, you know, I sometimes think about the best female voice.
Linda.
And there's so many great candidates. Linda's one of them. So is Bonnie Raitt.
Sure.
So is Lady Gaga.
Linda.
I believe Ann Wilson from Heart.
That's great.
Is the best female singer I've ever heard. But that's just me.
I mean, that's, yeah.
You don't have to mock me. That's great.
I didn't mock you.
That's great.
I didn't mock you. I said, that's great.
Yeah, in a condescending,
I don't think it was condescending at all.
Do you think a case can be made?
No, not really.
Really?
No, I don't.
Why?
Well, that's great. That's what you think.
Well, tell me why.
Because that's what you think.
Where's Mike Furchess when I need him?
He's always going to be on your side.
Not when he's not.
Publicly.
No,
between you and me, yeah. Publicly, he'll.
Well, I'm going to tell him you said that.
Well, I don't think he'd disagree.
Let's see what Max says. Max?
Is Max even there?
Could you make a case for Nancy Wilson?
Oh, definitely.
I'm sorry. Ann Wilson, not Nancy. Ann Wilson.
I knew you meant, yeah, definitely. Linda might have had slightly more range, but yeah. Ann is right there.
I think I'm not saying Ann is better than Linda. I'm just saying you could make a case.
And for those who
she's right there.
Not be. We're talking about Linda Ronstadt.
Well, everybody knows we're talking about.
Linda. Most people
are talking about Linda Evans.
I think most people think we know.
Yeah, have a clue.
No, I'm not going to do that. Would you write a story that said just Linda, or would you name that person?
She's a one-name person when it comes to female singers.
You didn't answer my question.
She's a one-namer.
Do we identify people, or don't we?
If I was writing a story about the great singers, the women singers, I'd say Linda's in the discussion.
No, you wouldn't. You'd
and
be fired.
So is Stevie. And you might even think about...
Now there's Beyonce.
Right. I don't think she's in the quite the.
She's a pretty good vocalist.
She's pretty good.
Mariah Carey. Although
Mariah,
I don't even like talking about singers post 70s because Max thinks they all use auto-tune.
Well, Aretha.
And I want to tell Max this. There are still people on the planet who are good singers.
Why is Max so deep in your head? It's really,
first of all, Rihanna, Rihanna's a better singer than Beyonce.
We're here, we're good, we're good, we're good.
Let him talk.
Hold on. And then...
Put your headset on.
And then we get to the 70s, and then suddenly we divert, where I continue liking music, and Max stops.
No. And I would say Rihanna's a much better singer than Beyonce.
Okay, well then I'll listen to that.
I think you could make that case.
I'm just happy you have that opinion. I don't really care if it's right or wrong.
I mean, it's all relative. It's really, it's all subjective, right?
Right.
It's you can't say, oh, she's definitely a better singer because what matters is how you hear it.
I'll let Max say that.
Say what?
I'll let him choose between 21st century singers instead of just, but they both suck. I want to hear. I think
there's some excellent singers now. Billie Eilish is great.
Okay.
There you go again, dismissing. Like you know anything about singing. I'll tell you what right now.
Want to hear some of my singing?
I'll tell you what right now. Anybody in this market is going to talk about singing as a radio guy, it should be me.
No, not really.
I'll take on not the world. I'll take on anybody with a daily radio show in Wichita, Kansas right now in a karaoke contest.
Okay, I'll go. Me.
I'll kill you.
Let's go.
That's a 1 versus 16.
Let's go then.
That might be a 1 versus 64.
Let's go.
Jeff, you got
Let's
no
go.
Shot.
Let's go.
You
That's
got
all
no
saying.
Shot.
Let's go. Are either you're in or you're
laughable.
Out. I'm in. So
laughable. I'm talking about the people like the Hitman. I'm talking about
the Hitman can't sing.
I'm talking about Ted Woodward, who's got a good voice.
Let's go.
I'll take Woodward on and I'll mop the floor with
See,
him.
See, you won't even
I'm talking about guys like Jack Oliver.
Either you face me or you're a coward.
I don't even look at you as a contender.
Then beat me.
You got to go through other people before
no,
you
don't.
Get to me.
No, I don't.
I don't start off with the easy wins.
That's you just said it was what? You don't make any sense. You want to hear some of my singing?
Let's hear.
No, play it. No, I'm not going to.
Because it'll be awful.
No, it won't.
It won't be good.
Let's hear some of it. Your heart's still on the shelf. That's good stuff. Listen to this. It's been over
2 years for me. And you actually recorded this into your phone.
Yeah, I record myself singing all the time. Can't be
with someone. Oh God. Misty? Misty, that's not
You're
a
not
squirrel.
Even listening. You're not even listening.
That's
Turn
classic.
It off, please.
Classic.
We've heard enough.
You're not even listening, so I'm going to keep playing.
My dog's ears are burning.
You're not even listening.
Please stop it. All I ask
I'm
is
gonna
that
keep
you stop
it.
Max, get us out of here. This is the worst
I'm going to keep playing it.
Exit of a radio show that's ever happened. Oh, God. You'd be somewhere else. Max, I'm begging you. Hit the music. And, oh, God. You're straining.
No, I'm not.
All right, there's the exit music. Thank you for listening. Oh, God. Thank you for listening today, except for listening to that. I apologize. We'll be back. Good God. Is there a flock of seagulls?
It sounds
we'll be
great.
Back.